Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
There's no reason to touch them.
And inform you in the afternoon.
I think your cheeks are a little loose.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
5 on the shot clock. Kyrie rises. Tough three.
Hey!
Got it! Oh, a dagger of a three by Kyrie Irving with John Wall in his face.
Get off my damn toe, man.
Celtics by two. 32 seconds to go. Wall drives past bars, gets to the cup easily and scores again. 34 for John Wall. 33 for Kyrie. Tie game with 21 seconds to go in the overtime. Kyrie Irving out near half court. Pull up. Crazy deep.
Oh, and
he got it.
Kyrie, don't go to Kyrie. I'm having a heart attack out here.
Hi there, everybody. Welcome into the program. Felger Maserati on a Thursday. Anthony, how you doing?
Good, you?
Peachy, thank you so much. A lot to get to today. As usual, there's always a lot to get to, isn't there?
It's the beauty of being in this market.
That's tremendous. We're going to give you a lot of Patriots Steelers today. Feel like we went light on that yesterday for much of it, so we're going to get to a lot of Patriots Steelers. Follow up Red Sox thoughts from the meetings out in Las Vegas. Okay, but let's start Celtics Wizards.
By all means, I'm in.
That little thing last night, you got a green leprechaun in your pants there last night?
That was a fun game.
I know you're a closet green team.
That was a fun game.
You stay up for it and watch it, and you take your pants off?
So, look, I thought that, you know, I heard the first half. I didn't see the first half, but when they were behind, I found it frustrating. I thought it would be just like the Celtics.
Yeah, just like you to start with their first half.
Get on this little roll and then slide back against a team like Washington. They go on the road and say what you want about Washington, but there is talent there. It's not like a complete scrub team.
They play you tough. They,
always. And there's you know,
Wall and Beal are legit.
There. Yeah, and there's an edge there, too, because they don't like each other.
Against you, didn't Wall score 1 point the previous game?
I don't remember.
Did I hear Scal say that during the broadcast? That he had, I mean, I can look that up easily. I will once I wipe down. But they play you tough. They're a bad team. They make no mistake.
They all hate each other.
Freaking bullets, but they play you tough.
All the time. And they don't like the Celtics too, so I think they get up for them. And vice versa. You know, there's an edge there, obviously. So, but, you know, once the Celtics got going, the second half, you know, I give them credit. That's a good win. And the only thing I would caution people against is, you know, and Himmelsbach did it in the Globe this morning, you know, well, people were piling on. The talk show host, shows were talking. Blah. And I read the whole thing. I'm like, oh, God, would you stop? During this seven-game winning streak, they haven't beaten a single playoff team.
They've won the title in the last 2 weeks. You know there?
They haven't beaten a single playoff team.
When's the parade, Jimmy? Is it next Tuesday? Tuesday is always a good day for a parade.
Yeah, Tuesday.
Yeah. I hope
I'll be there. I'll be on a boat.
Yeah, City Hall Plaza thing, not a rolling rally. You didn't hear? They won. They've won it all.
Oh, is that what happened?
Yeah. So you're smelling that already from the
Green. Oh, my God. It's ridiculous. I saw that. I said, oh, you got to be kidding me. And, like, I know Himmelsbach's a beat guy, and he's just sort of narrating the storyline. But I felt like saying, did you read Washburn in your own paper? Washburn was ready to say this might be who they are for the rest of the year. Like, we were all that close.
Battling for a 4 seed, I believe, was Washburn's quote.
And the other thing is, again,
Adam.
You can't emphasize this part enough. The 7-game winning streak, 6 teams, because they've played New Orleans twice, none of them are in the playoffs right now. None of them. They've just beaten bad teams of late. Now, they're playing better, but all they've done is beat bad teams.
Yeah, they're doing what they should be doing. This is why I said last week they should be on a 10-game winning streak by the time they get to their next real tough game against the Milwaukee Bucks a week from tomorrow night. So they're doing what they should be doing. It's encouraging considering how awful it looked for the first month and a half of the season, you know. So I like it. And as good as Kyrie was, and he was ridiculous.
Who was the most important player for the Celtics in that game, Jimmy?
It was Marcus Smart.
Marcus Smart.
Without question.
Absolutely.
I still say Kyrie.
Marcus Smart.
That's maybe the best game I've seen Marcus Smart play in a Celtics uniform. And from the incredible defense, hustle plays, ball hawking, made
every loose ball in the fourth quarter.
Every single free throw.
Every freaking time the ball was bouncing around. It felt like he was on the floor or involved, tapping it off Oubre, diving on the floor in the corner, flopping for a call, offensive rebound, putback.
Clutch rebounds, clutch steals.
Like every time there was one of those, he was right there. That he cannot come out of the starting lineup. And I know it's more important who finishes than who starts, but so fine, either way. But I still think it sets a tone for you, and I still think it establishes things to have him in the starting lineup and to have him out there at the end of games. He cannot come off the floor. Sorry. That's the guy.
Yeah, look, you're not going to get me to change my mind on Kyrie. Those two shots at the end were ridiculous. Smart was dynamite, though, other than not blocking out Bradley Beal on a free throw attempt.
No, well, that was Tatum and Rozier.
No, it was Smart on the one that...
Scal called out Rozier and Tatum.
Oh, I think it was on Smart. Smart had the shooter there. I mean, I watched it again right before we came on.
Cue it back up.
Okay, I'll get it for you. Smart was the guy that was shooter.
Was that his one bad play of the night? I mean,
I will say this. If he's on the floor, how is John Wall, how does he go off like that?
Well, that's my one little nitpicky thing. Why was Robert Williams, the Time Lord, mostly on Wall for that game?
Have you had enough of the Time Lord yet?
It's getting a bit much.
You getting a little sick of that yet?
Yeah.
Guy stands underneath the basket and dunks.
Like, can we get somebody to sue him so that'll stop too, like the Scary Terry stuff?
I'll tell you though, the fact that he's not completely useless as a rookie and a late first round pick,
it's
a win.
No. He's actually a good story, and they're getting something out of him, and he looks like you got something there. But the Green Teamers are ruining it overnight. Overnight, they're going to ruin the storyline where I'm going to start rooting against the kid. Because the way you people are carrying on about him. What's it, the Time Lord?
Yeah.
What does that mean? Why do they call him that?
Because remember, he was late for everything, including the first phone call. And, like, you know, that first week that he got drafted was a complete disaster because he didn't know the time difference between here and Central Time.
Oh, my God. Okay, he blocked Anthony Davis.
In that case, I like it.
He dove on the floor. He dunked a couple times last night when they left him all alone underneath the basket. Like, I see it. It's okay. I didn't even know he'd be on the team after all the Time Lord stuff. And you're right. That's pretty good.
Yeah, and he apparently doesn't like the nickname. So.
Oh, good. Well, yeah. So then even more. Yeah. So that I do like. But you can already tell what the Green Teamers are doing with it. They're going to ruin the experience, if not ruin the player. You know, because you've done this now to many a player. And the next thing you're going to be chanting MVP when he's at the free throw line. And the kid's going to get an inflated sense of self-worth. He's asked for too much money, and he's going to suck like Rozier and Isaiah Thomas. And I've been over this.
Oh, the pop he was getting Monday night against New Orleans was a bit much.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Oh,
please.
I should tell you that he does have the same timing as Bill Russell.
Exactly. But anyway, that is the side. Those two three balls by Kyrie, balls.
Oh, that first one especially.
Balls,
I know that, look, the second one he was, I don't know how many feet behind the line. That first one.
31 feet. The last one was 31 feet.
And Stevens made the comment that people don't know how hard that first shot is. And again, I was just watching it again right now. He's right. He had no room there. He's literally pinned against the sideline, a bigger guy in front of him, shot the ball straight up into the air and dropped it through from 27 feet or whatever it is. Insane. And I just think that is the difference, you know, between a real closer in that league and a guy who's not is making ridiculous shots like that.
Yeah, brilliant basketball player, really. And ballsy and clutch and all of it.
And like, that pass to Tatum.
Oh, like, tremendous.
Oh, he was great. He was dynamite.
You know what? Shouldn't they have held up there and gotten fouled and gone to the line? They were up one inside the shot clock. They didn't need a shot there. I mean,
I don't think you see. I don't even remember that. I have to go back and look.
I'm pretty sure they were up. I think they were up one, and there was less than 24 seconds left. And so the play there was to pull up and take the foul. And then I think that led to the Beal thing on the other side. Either way, Irving is just tremendous. He's still hard to listen to, man. He's still... I have a hard time listening to him. It's like, just play, stop talking. Or I need to just turn it off when he starts to speak. So he's embracing the lead role. Globe, Irving embraces lead role. This is like the theme here, right? Because after that bad Portland loss, he says we need a 14, 15-year veteran here. So who's the leader? He doesn't want Marcus Smart to do it. He does want Marcus Smart to do it. He doesn't want to be LeBron. He's willing to be LeBron. Blah, back and forth, back and forth. So now he's like, and recognizes, I guess he needs to assume it. Hey, here's what he said pregame. It's an everyday job. It's part of kind of the next step of evolution for me in my career. Just learning what that means for me. And what type of leader I want to be. I've reached out to a few people just to ask questions, learning more about how to kind of manage being in a group like this. Irving, remember when you did your thing on LeBron? Like, I.
He told you. He absorbed a lot of LeBron while he was in Cleveland.
When Irving was asked to name the people he had consulted about leadership, he smiled and declined, saying only that he likes having, quote, an older board of people I like to go to.
His senior advisor. His
board. Yeah, the board. He's going to consult the board.
He called LeBron.
Of course.
That's who he called. Now that LeBron's in the West, he can talk to him again.
He goes on. Even for myself, I think at this point in my career, it's not necessarily my skills or my talent. It's more about how do I, this is a good one. It's more about how do I echo greatness to our group every single day and figure out what that looks like for us.
Echo greatness?
Kyrie, shh, 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 just shh, 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 stop. It's easy to go out and score 27 points, go get it, and nothing else really matters. And if you're just caring about yourself, Irving said, when you have to care about a whole entire group, really depend on just learning who you're playing with every single day, who is coaching you. That relationship, that's far more important to me now that I was just being able to be the young guy, fourth year in the league, fifth year or whatever, trying to get a bunch of points and assists and be at the top of the standings, end quote. It's just, I have a hard time listening to the guy. I really do.
Well, with good reason. Like, seriously, the whole leadership thing, Kyrie is leader. He doesn't know what he's doing. That's why he has to call people. He doesn't know how to do it. And some guys just have it naturally and some don't. And I'm not sure he has it at all.
Okay, so I don't know what takeaways you have from last night, but you got to have some. Other than that was just amazing what Kyrie did at the end. And it
I hated the win last night.
Yeah, why, Jimmy?
Because they played like garbage for three quarters. And it's like, oh, we're in the fourth quarter against the Suck Bullets and we're going to start playing. I will say that overtime was great. But you shouldn't be going to overtime against the Bullets.
Okay.
They suck. They can't play well together. They're terrible.
Someone's got their expectations a little too high right now.
Well, also you could say, how's your D? I mean, John Wall got whatever he wanted.
Yeah, so the one complaint is they basically didn't try for the first three quarters. You know, so want to bitch about that.
So we're going to do this again? We're just going to play a fourth quarter in overtime, which you shouldn't have even been in overtime.
Okay, Jimmy's not happy with it. How do you feel about it? Marcus Smart, I'm sorry. That's just another night that shows me he's got to be on the floor.
He's your leader, not Kyrie. Marcus Smart is.
And I agree.
Thank you.
Okay. So your thoughts, 617-779-0985, to you right after these words.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Something.
Come back and put it in my face.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Felger and Mass.
They suck.
On Boston's home for sports.
Here with the man of the hour, Kyrie hit two huge threes in overtime. Take me through both of them.
It was warranted. The shot clock was worn down on the first one. John got a great contest. I just tried to get a good look at the rim and try to get my elbow pointed at it and just take a good one. But, our team needed it. They were coming down, pushing in transition. John got to the basket a few times, easy too. So it was a great, great test for us. Obviously, it's not the same Washington team that's been playing throughout the season. They still have great talent down there, still have cohesion to build. So it was a great test for us tonight.
We talked about leadership this morning with you, and you certainly showed that tonight. But what kind of identity are you guys establishing here?
Just playing hard to full 48 minutes, and if it takes longer, then we'll play that out as well. We just got to stay poised, stay ready for whatever the game throws at us, and we're just having fun doing so. So a lot of smiles, just great defense being played, great basketball. So who doesn't want to watch the Celtics play?
Kyrie Irving last night with Abby Chin. Even the way he answered the first part of the question, take us through those last two game-winning shots. Well, it was warranted. Who sort of talks like that?
He is. He's a completely, totally self-absorbed dink in a lot of ways.
Maybe it's just the way he comes across. I just have a hard time listening to him.
If it takes longer, get out of here. Beat the Bullets in regulation. Play hard for all four quarters.
The Bullets.
Waste my time.
I can watch him on the floor all night long. Brilliant.
He is dynamite.
Beautiful player. He's tremendous.
Really, everything, too. Last night, he even drew a charge on Wall. Remember
yes,
that?
Yes, absolutely.
Like, the passing, because I think he's a better passer than we give him credit for. He doesn't do a lot of it, but getting to the hoop, all of it, he's just dynamite.
All right, your calls as promised. Walter and West Boylston. Hi, Walter.
Hey, so I know you guys don't like the Time Lord nickname, but I got a nickname for Jaylen Brown, and it's Tradelin Brown, and I'll explain why. The Celtics are 5-0 this season when Jaylen hasn't played. That includes last night and the great win against the Bucks in the eighth game of the season. The other thing is Gordon averages 5 more points per game and a 10% increase in field goal percentage during games that he plays and Jaylen doesn't. Jaylen is in the bottom 4 or 5 on the team in every single advanced statistic, including value above replacement, net rating, offensive rating, defensive rating. I think he's reached his ceiling with us, and as it's currently constituted, the team, and
all right, so
you know, with Morris playing so well. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I mean, let me stop you. First of all, now that I know what Time Lord's about, I like it. I just don't like what you're about to do to this player. I can just feel it coming. He's the next Jay Crowder, Isaiah Thomas. You're just going to inflate this kid.
Greg Steemsma.
Oh, it's going to be bad. I can just. It's already started. Okay, you're doing the. You're giving him the full green team treatment, which is.
But he fell to 28 in the first round. The Celtics stole him.
Right, it's already built it's in. Already, he was supposed to be a top 10 pick.
He was supposed to be top 5. That athleticism, top 5. All these other teams are stupid.
This is what I hate. This is what I hate. The thing about whether it's Jaylen Brown or Gordon Hayward or Al Horford, I'm not telling you you're better without those players, but are you kind of better without those players? Or are you? Is there a lesson here in the last couple of weeks where fewer mouths to feed, you cull the herd a little bit, and the result is that it actually fits together better or something along those lines? You see what I'm talking
about? Yeah, to me, closer to the second thing. And I say closer to, I think it's basically true. You know, I look at it and say, you're not a better team without those guys. Because look at the minutes last night. How many minutes did Kyrie play? Over 40 minutes.
40 minutes, I think.
Right? Like, you don't want those guys piling up those kinds of minutes in December against the Bullets, for crying out loud. You don't want that. So you want the bodies. But there is something to be said for everybody has a job to do on the floor. And if all 5 guys need the ball and want to score, it doesn't work. So, like, you need complementary pieces. And the sooner they figure that out and get it through their thick heads that they're not all out there to score, then it works better.
Right. Well, those other guys have to be the complementary piece.
Now, what he said about Brown, though, is wrong.
Well, and Jaylen, how so?
Jaylen Brown's been good the last 4 or 5 games.
Yeah, since he came back from the back injury.
I mean, I just went back and looked. He's going to the basket a lot more. He's taking fewer threes and making them because he's taking the right ones. He's shooting well from the free throw line. In the last 4 games he's played, he's shooting over 60% from the field overall. He's shooting almost 60% from 3-point distance, 58.3, and he's taking 3 attempts a game. He's averaging 5 rebounds. He's shooting 84% from the line. So I look at that and say, I've got very little issue with the way he's played of late.
Since he came back, right?
Yes, absolutely. It was the early Jaylen Brown that bugged the crap out of me. So I look at it now and say, it feels to me like he's getting it. When you're on the floor with the second unit, your job is to go to the basket. Do it. And if they foul you, make the free throws. And he's making them.
Our buddy Green Mountain Luke is on the line. Hi, Luke.
One reason that Kyrie is more important than Marcus Smart is because, like you said, Felger, Jay Crowder, Avery Bradley, a lot of guys can hustle and scrap, but there's only a half dozen players that can hit those 2 threes in the entire league that Kyrie hit at the end. And he's the one that allows you to close out games, but more importantly, down the road, win the big games. But one of the reasons we were in that game, the Wizards were in that game late last night and had to go to overtime is because we were missing Hayward and Brown and Horford. Those guys are big pieces. You don't see a lot of teams missing 3 of their top 6 and go on a 7-game winning streak. And I hear what you're saying about the less mouse. I just think too much is being played about that. You need all these guys.
Luke, I've seen this team do it. I've seen this team do it for 3-4 years under Brad Stevens. This is when Stevens is at his best. When you're undermanned or the talent doesn't look like it's there or you have more scrappy players than superstars, I've seen you do this every year. No, this you can do. And it's impressive. You're right. There's still not many teams in the league that do it. I don't know if there's another team in the league that does it like you do it when it's, you know, when those are sort of the parameters. So, no. I mean, I've seen this from you guys. You've done this. Can you do it all now when you have superstars and mouths to feed and egos to us, you know, and all that stuff that you still haven't proven? And just to clarify, I'm not saying I want Marcus Smart over Kyrie Irving. I'm not saying that.
No, you said last night.
I think, well, to me, Smart made as many game-winning plays as Irving. It just wasn't as flashy. I mean, he didn't score the points, but possessions. How many possessions was Marcus Smart responsible for?
Oh, a lot of them.
Huge. I mean, huge. So I'm not taking Smart over Irving. Don't misconstrue it. I just think Smart needs to be on the floor. I think he needs to be on the floor to start games and end games.
Well, the winning streak has proven that.
I mean, I think so.
They can't go away from that.
I think so, too.
I mean, to me, he's one of those guys. The more you watch it, the more you absorb it all. And you know, he's got to be on the floor at the end of games.
And so, you know,
he's too valuable.
Don't I feel the same way about Marcus Morris?
Yes, I do.
On both ends of the floor, the last 5 minutes, would you rather have Marcus Morris out there or Gordon Hayward?
Morris.
I mean, the dude's playing. Right now, I mean, until Hayward gets back,
yeah, sure.
I mean...
He's been the most consistent player on his team since the season started, even when they were going through the hell of, you know, losing to terrible teams. But the last few, he's looked like an all-star.
So I feel the way about Marcus Smart and Marcus Morris, that they should be on the floor to start and end over Gordon and Jaylen Brown.
I mean, there's a toughness thing that those guys bring to competitively at the end of these games.
Marcus Morris, I don't know what the percentages tell me, but I feel like Marcus Morris shoots the ball every bit as well as Gordon Hayward.
He's a badass.
He's a badass. The one thing is the ball sticks, okay? So if you want to run your offense and keep the ball moving, Marcus Morris isn't the guy, and Hayward's actually a really nice passer, really good facilitator.
But Morris is also a player that you can stick in the corner, and he'll just hang out there until you give him the ball, and then he'll make the shot. He doesn't need to come to the ball all the time.
Gordon Hayward does?
Hayward is around the ball a lot.
Yeah, well, Hayward's a better passer, right? So, you know, you want to use that too. I get it. What I'd like to see ultimately is them get to a point where they can play all those guys together for like 3 minutes when they need it. You know, at the end of a big playoff game, when Golden State's got its big guns out there, you got to have yours.
Cam and Taunton, what do you think?
Guys, they're not the Bullets, okay? They're the Wizards.
No, they're the Bullets. They're the Bullets.
Bullets.
Boo.
Okay. And Mike, you know, they're going to do this to Robert Williams, too, like you said. I mean, they're just going to pump him up.
But
Kyrie, again, there's a lot of great players in this league. Is Kyrie the most talented guy in the league? No. Is he probably the top 10? But he's a closer. There's not a lot of closers in this league, and you saw it again last night. This guy's hit one of the biggest shots in the history of the game. Last night, he makes two ridiculous threes, and you wanted to trade this guy because you had Terry Rozier, Green Teamers. That's you. So congratulations. You look like even more idiots now than you always have.
Okay.
That's a good point. There was a stretch there. Oh, we don't need him. We have the point guard we need in Terry Rozier. idiots.
I don't fall in that camp, but he's not the only great point guard. I mean, I still do sort of stand by that thing that he ain't the only point guard. I mean, there's about a half dozen of them, maybe more in the league that could come in and do something similar. And if you were talking about trading him out for someone like Anthony Davis or Towns, there's fewer of those guys than there are of the elite point guard. There just is.
Yeah. And look, the other thing is assignability was a big part of it. Like if he's teasing you with this idea of leaving, well, then you trade his ass. Like, it's that simple. But if he wants to stay and he's healthy, he's ridiculous. I'm sorry. He is. Like, to me, there are two point guards in the league that can handle the ball like that, shoot, and go to the basket. And it's Curry and Kyrie. Like, I stop there. When you add in Curry.
And Curry can't go to the basket like he does.
No, he's a great ball handler, though. He's an underrated ball handler.
And his shot's probably a little better.
Yes. So, but when you add in all three, like, to me, it's those two guys on a different level. And then the rest of them we can discuss. You know, Westbrook does some things that are better than other guys, but he doesn't shoot like these guys, and that's a big negative.
Harden shoots like these guys, but is a loser.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. So Harden's got a lot of the ability, but doesn't have the intangibles.
You also have a coach who made Isaiah Thomas a star.
So what are you saying? This is Brad Stevens?
I'm saying that point guards, while you have one of the better ones in the league, there are 20 of 30 good point guards in the league, and Brad Stevens helped develop a top 5 point guard.
I get it that Stevens would get another point guard in here and get elite production out of him because that's what he's done with his last two. I get it. Are you still on the train that Kyrie's not going to stay here, Jimmy, or you don't care if he goes, or how do you stand on that?
I'm still worried he's a flight risk.
You do. And you said at one point you'd drive him to the airport. Do you still feel that way?
I would probably still drive him to the Knicks. I'd just drive him to New York.
I would just make sure that partition is up between the driver and him and back so I don't have to listen to him, you know, yammering on back there.
Can you imagine him in the New York media?
Oh my God.
I'd be the Uber driver who would just crank my music.
We continue with your Celtics thoughts. 617-779-0985. I've couple up on the lines if you want to grab them. We'll give you a Red Sox minute as well and say goodbye to an old friend of ours. Don't go anywhere.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, Red Sox items, then we'll get back to your phones. Item number one. 3 years, $25 million for Joe Kelly and the LA Dodgers. Your thoughts?
I saw this deal. I laughed my ass off. And not because of the money. Not because of the money.
Not because of the money?
$8 million is about what I thought he was going to get. Okay, honestly, I thought somewhere around $8 million a year, someone's going to give Joe Kelly $8 million a year. The reason I laughed? The Dodgers. This is the team he did well against in the World Series. They think he's this good. You idiots. Like... They didn't see him the other 6 months. Holy crap, you knuckleheads. You think you're going to get that all the time? Boy, are you in for a surprise.
Well, this is a classic case of the term that Gasper always uses, the recency bias, right? I mean, what he just did to them, that they think that's exactly what he's going to be. Good luck.
Oh, God, I saw that. I said, what a classic mistake. Like, guy pitches well against you in a big spot in the World Series. You go, wow, this guy's good. Okay, whatever you say. Good luck with that one.
Like, I would have actually liked him back here to maybe be the closer, because right now it's going to be who? Brazier, essentially, or Matt Barnes, but that's crazy money for
would
Joe
you
Kelly.
Close Joe Kelly, Mass?
No. No, he doesn't have the sack to do it.
He's got the stuff to do it.
He has the sack.
I don't know.
No, that's not it. He doesn't have the head. He's got the balls.
I don't know. I mean, I think that, you know, you start doing it with him on a regular basis, I don't think he cracks.
I don't think he has the consistency or the discipline. That's what I'm talking about.
You might be right.
He'll go 100 miles an hour. I mean, he'll do that thing.
So, and look, now that I say that, he did, you know, trigger a fight with the Yankees the whole nine yards. He
was really good when the games mattered the most. Come on, he was.
Yeah, he just does not have the capacity to repeat that. I just don't think that he can do that with any sort of real consistency. I don't.
Would you have given him 1 year and $8 million?
Sure. Yeah, sure. And again, even the money, I wouldn't have been totally appalled if they brought Kelly back. He's okay.
For 1 year.
You know, he's okay. But the thing that cracked me up was, we all know there's no way he does that on a regular basis. Just no way. And the Dodgers saw it and went, ooh. Look at this guy. He's unhittable. Okay, just let us. The other thing is, well, he probably went to the National League because he wants to hit.
Well,
he's from there.
Yeah, whatever. Same deal. He's talking about hitting, going to the World Series. Oh, that's a disaster waiting to happen.
But he was Pedro.
Oh, he was dynamite.
98 and then spotting it off speed at 89. Like, I mean, it was.
Oh, no. He was. I mean, you will not hear me say that he wasn't lights out in October. He was. I just think the Dodgers took the cheese. Wow, did they take the cheese.
Okay, item number two. Are there some contracts signed across the league that make you look back at Nathan Eovaldi?
Well, so a couple of them in particular, like some of these deals for starters that are out there. Charlie Morton got 2 years and $30 million with Tampa.
Charlie Morton, 2 years, $30 million. Charlie Morton's 35 years old, was 15-3 for Houston last year with a 3.13 ERA.
Okay, so he got 2 years and 30. Nathan Eovaldi got 4.67 or whatever the number 68. Was, 67 and a half. And so I look at that and went, wow. Like, so Nathan Eovaldi got more per year and double the length that Charlie Morton got. And the other one was Jay Happ, and I don't even know if that one's actually official yet, but they were talking about him going back to the Yankees at 2 years and $34 million or 35, somewhere in that area of $17 million a year, which is essentially what Eovaldi got. And he's older, too. But you're telling me, that can people look at those two deals and tell me that the Nathan Eovaldi deal is still a good contract? Because it's insane. I mean, and I understand there's an age difference there, But what has Evaldi ever done in his career to say that it'll last the 4 years?
I'm sorry, did you say that Happ got a 2-year term?
Yeah.
So the age is reflected in the term.
Right.
You know, Morton got got 2 years. Happ got 2 years. No, just go to the AAV. So the AAV is a fair comp. So, I mean, Evaldi should get more years than those guys because he's, 7 years younger. Fine. The AAV.
Yeah, he's not as good as those guys based on the body of work.
Morton was 15-3, 30 starts last year. And those were career highs. He sort of flashed, but still. Okay, so I think that's fair. That's item number two. Item number three, headline. Boston Globe. Bradley, a difficult piece to deal for Sox.
Yeah, I saw this actually went up online yesterday. Alex Spear wrote it. Bradley, a difficult piece to deal. And I saw it and went, no, he isn't. He's not difficult to deal at all. Like, what are you talking about? Again, another one I look at and say, this is like, it's the lying season in baseball. It is. It's the total lying season. I used to joke about this at the winter meetings, that everybody you talk to, you'd walk away from them and go, lie, lie, you're lying. That's a lie. And so now all of a sudden, Jackie Bradley's indispensable.
Don't you fear that they could actually feel that way, though?
Yes, I do fear that they feel that way.
My God, the stat nerds love the guy.
Because people in Boston have felt that way now for 4 years, overvaluing his defense instead of... Jackie Bradley, I'm sorry, is a very easy piece to deal. Here you go. You sell someone on all the bull crap that you believe in over the last 4 years, and then you dump his ass and actually get someone who can hit.
Yeah, you sell him on his second half last year. Second half was .282 batting average, and that would be, now I have to add up the split line, an .851 OPS. So you sell him on that second half last year.
Yeah, why Jackie Bradley is a difficult piece to deal for the Red Sox.
Lie!
You know
lie!
Why? You know
that's
why?
A lie! It's a complete lie!
You know why he's a difficult piece to deal for some people with the Red Sox? Because they buy into the stupidity. That's why. Again, I saw that headline, I started laughing. So look, we're getting close to the holidays, I'm getting a little loopy. I admit it. Okay, but man, I saw the Joe Kelly deal, and I just could not. I laughed out loud reading the Red Sox news today. Laughed out loud because they went, the Dodgers, they think he's this good.
Okay, here's a fourth item. I got a fourth item for you that you did not laugh at. Dave Dombrowski, in so many words, wants a deadline put on Major League Baseball free agency, and the deadline is not to start the thing. The deadline is to end the thing. God bless him. Pete Abe writes that free agency lingers for 3 months in baseball, sometimes longer. When you look at the NFL, the NBA, and the NHL, it's a feeding frenzy. First day, first weekend, 4 p.m. free agent deadline for those other sports. Boom. Guys are on planes.
It's exciting.
Guys are getting signed. We have a countdown clock here on Felger and Maz. It's great. NHL, NBA, Major NFL, every other sport, it's like, boom, and it's a great first week. Because it all happens in the first week, and then the rest of it is all just whatever.
It's a blitz. It is. It's a blitz right out of the gate.
Baseball's just the opposite. Did you know the winter meetings are going on? And yesterday was yet another largely uneventful day. Well, Red Sox President of Baseball Operations Dave Dombrowski feels that the lethargy hurts the game and robs all involved of needed time off to recharge. He says, quote, I have suggested the game needs to look at that. The reality is that if you're a general manager or an assistant general manager of a major league team, there's no downtime for people. When you have deadlines, people work toward them, and there's no deadline as it currently stands. You have a signing period for the amateur draft, so .. why not do it for this?
I agree with them 100%. And you know, again, the amateur draft takes place in June. I think it's by like September 1 you have to have guys signed or not, right? And then, you know, there are huge variables there.
But just let me jump in. You know, once again, a Major League Baseball person is looking at it selfishly. Dombrowski's looking at, I want to go on vacation.
Correct.
Okay,
that caught my attention too.
And you know, my staff, we want to get away. Okay, so now we want to sign the guys, and then that's it. We want to take off. And of course, like, no one cares about your time off, Dave. But for the fans, like, what an opportunity baseball misses. Where all these other sports, in the heart of their off season, it's like free agency tracker. Where is he going? Where is he flying? Where is he meeting? Who's he meeting with? It's a great week.
It's added drama, and it becomes another must-watch thing.
That week in March for the NFL is great. Hockey now is usually over 4th of July, which is unfortunate, but crap goes down July 1 through the first week of July. The NBA, they're all over the place, right? It's great. And baseball has none of it. None of it. You don't even know when free agency starts, do you? You don't?
No.
And it never ends.
Well, it goes right up until almost the season starts.
Like, I mean, it does, yeah.
There is no end.
I mean, J.D. Martinez didn't sign until February.
Him and Jake Arrieta. And this is why I don't think it's going to change, because it helps drive a price down on a player.
What like, does? It's,
the longer it goes, the more these players are going to be out there. And the, like these teams can look at them and say, well, what are you going to do?
Oh,
you
I
need
see,
a job,
I see.
Right?
The teams, I get it.
I don't think that they would want it to change.
I just think the league would be better served if you could pump up the offseason with player movement.
I agree. I mean, to me, it's got to move a lot faster, and it should be moving a lot faster. So, like, I don't know.
Christmas Eve, whatever.
Oh, I think that's too late.
Fine. I'll take whatever you want. December 15th.
I mean, initially, my gut was December 15th, and then I thought about it and said, screw that.
December 1.
You got a month. You've got a month. The World Series ends at the end of October. Get your ass in gear. Let's move. And if you say, well, what if you're playing in October? Too bad. Do the research during the regular season. You know who you want.
Stick some nerds on it. We're playing the game. Put the nerds in another room and have them look at the offseason. Be ready to go.
I'd scrap the winter meetings completely. I'd get rid of it. That's what I would do.
Well, the things that turned into, it used to be fun.
It's a waste of time.
It's useless. Because once again, baseball takes too much time. And all they care about is themselves. By the way, Dombrowski wants to go on vacation. FYI. Not that he's worried about us and the game or anything. So anyway, there's your four baseball items. Mix them in with our Celtics thoughts with you. We'll update Christmas in the City as well right after these words in our long commercial-free segment.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
What can we say about Felger and Maz that you haven't already screamed in your car?
Sit on that one, bitch, and spin.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
And it hit him. Austin slammed his bat on the ground. Now heads toward the mound. And he's ready to swing. He and Kelly go down on the ground. Both benches empty. We have a brawl in Boston.
I was ready to defend myself. If someone comes to my property and in my backyard, I'm going to have two dogs and ready to come to my property, and you know, I feel like if I'm getting attacked, then I'm having to defend myself.
Matt Barnes, Heath Henry, Joe Kelly, and those other guys.
It's time to spin the wheel of gutless bums. Red Sox manager Alex Cora is faced with a tough decision: who to use in a high leverage situation late in the game. Now let's spin the wheel.
Kelly, Thornburg,
and today's gutless bum is...
The ball snatched up. He's got it to fire into the outfield as the run scores. Runners will hold up at first and second as the throw comes back on a misfire by Kelly.
Seventh inning and a pitching change for the Red Sox. Joe Kelly takes over. 1-2 pitch. Struck him out. Kelly ready with another. Left side, Devers. Two out. Ramirez strikes out. And Joe Kelly with a 1-2-3-7.
So we had that guy early in the season, and then he struggled throughout the middle of the season. In September, he made some adjustments, and the stuff started playing again. But in October, he's been lights out. He went from being the guy in the 7th, 8th inning to just a guy in the bullpen. And now he's back to the equation. And when Joe is throwing strikes with all his pitches, he might be one of the toughest relievers in the big leagues because his stuff is that good.
Smell you later. That's that. Yeah, come with a whole bunch of new material, Murray.
They could still be gutless bums again. You never know. We could be spinning that wheel.
Oh, see, I think we just all we have to do is just wait and then change the names.
Well, you won't have Joe Kelly to push around anymore. That's all I know. Real quick, the Christmas in the City online auction continues. The Felger Maz show sit-ins have been sold. I'll tell you about those in a second. But again, go on to 98.5thesportshub.com and help us support Christmas in the City, a 100% volunteer nonprofit organization that plays Santa to thousands of children currently living in Boston's homeless shelters. It's not just Boston. They spread out in the Boston area, homeless shelters, foster homes. This year, they're going up into the Merrimack Valley with all those families displaced because of the gas explosions. They're going to bus in hundreds of kids. from the Merrimack Valley to experience Christmas in the city. It's really just a one-day huge Christmas party that they throw for kids that don't get Christmas. I know that's hard to believe, but there are thousands of kids everywhere, but here in the area as well, who don't experience Christmas. So that's what Christmas in the City does. The best thing they do is they get Christmas lists from these kids. They go around to the shelters before the party, get a Christmas list from the kids, and then try and fulfill the Christmas list. So that's a very intensive process. So they need toys and money. So you can just donate on your own if you want at 985thesportshub.com or christmasinthecity.org or get involved with our auction online. Again, go to 985thesportshub.com. A link will bring you to the auction. And here's what's still up. A four-pack of tickets, Celtics, Pacers, plus a $200 Tony C's gift card. Current bid's $2,400. Those seats are only six rows behind the Celtics bench, so those are really good seats. Really good seats. Plus a $200 gifty. There's a golf outing with Maz, 18 holes at the Atkinson Resort and Country Club, for you and two of your friends, so a threesome with Maz. Current bid's $1,225, and they've added...
Yep, so what we've decided to do is Hardy's a big golf guy, as everyone knows, and maybe listen to the golf club on the station with Hardy. He's going to join, and we're going to take the top two bids and go out as eight total. So myself, Hardy, and then two groups of three that bid in the auction, we'll bring you along too.
Awesome. Okay.
Golfing with Hardy's a good time, too. Maz, that's a good group. That's a good pairing right there.
And maybe we'll bring Murray along to, quote-unquote, caddy.
Party starter.
I'll bring the sweet tooth.
Okay, so.
Loosen everybody up.
So that is now not just 18 with Maz, but 18 with Hardy. So that opens up for three more folks. Bid on that. An overnight stay at the Seaport Hotel, plus a $200 gift card to the Rail Stop Restaurant and Bar. That current bid, $650. That is great value, because I'm telling you, that hotel room is more than $450. There's a Larry Bird signed basketball for $800, a Revolution Game Day VIP package that includes a field visit with players, a team signed ball, box seats, current bids $800, a Troy Brown signed football for $375, a Bruins team signed stick for $950, a four-pack of Bruins tickets for their December 27th game, good seats, plus a $200 gift card to the smoke shop. Not Murray's brand of smoke shop. No, that's the barbecue shop, smoke shop. Current bid is $1,350. Good number there. I mean, meaning good value there. We should bid that up. And then there's a Julian Edelman framed picture donated by the Boston Globe. Current bid $375. We also auctioned off four Felger and Maz sit-ins, and they've been sold. We closed it last night at midnight because now we're undergoing the vetting process.
Correct.
So we have to make sure that these people are on the up and up, and then we're bringing them in. But we have our winners. We have our winners. And if I had the towns for you right now, I'd tell you, but maybe I'll tell you later. Will Loring, Matthew McClune, and Matt Drescher are going to be in studio tomorrow hosting a segment, co-hosting a segment, doing whatever they want with their segment. It's their segment. Okay, so they join Felger and Maz.
I hope those guys come in with thick skin.
And then there was a super generous donor, Tom McClain, who went above and beyond. And as I said yesterday, we want you all in tomorrow, except if you bid a lot of money and are super generous, then you can pick the day. And so Todd's going to pick the day because he, I think, doubled up what the bids were. So he gets to pick his day. We'll do that for the charity, no problem. But the following will be in tomorrow. So again, thank you to Will Loring, Matthew McClune, and Matt Drescher. Thank you very much for your generous donations. You'll be on Felger and Maz tomorrow, and we'll see how that goes. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, Murray, when you, like, produce bits, like, how do you do that?
Murray, I don't get it. It's not that bright in here. Why are you going to look like a douche and wear the sunglasses?
Yeah, the number 617-777-9. So we're going to take no commercial. We're doing headlines now. Murray's going to give you headlines. That's what they do at 3 o'clock. There's no commercial.
Okay.
Murray's going to give you the headlines, and then we will be back here on auction day, Felger and Maz, to take your
this,
calls.
This is an idea. Maybe it's a one-off. This may be the only time we ever do it, depending on how annoying these guys are. But just those four guys alone. Those four guys alone raised $10,000 for Christmas in the City.
Excellent. Awesome. Good job,
so, again,
guys.
Again, Will, Matthew, and Matt, and Todd, thank you so much for your donations. That money is that's needed. It's well spent. It's going to go right to the cause. It is a 100% volunteer nonprofit organization, so it goes 100%, 1,000% to the kids who need it. So thank you, all of you guys, for those show sit-in donations. They are tremendous and generous, and we thank you for them. Here's Murray's update. 90 seconds. Pay attention, guys. This is how you do it. 90 seconds, no commercials. We're right back with your call.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.